although this is smaller than I expected. But it's okay. But I ran across this saying by Vance Havner, and I thought it's worth repeating and it's probably worth remembering. The preacher who will not preach his heart out before few people would be no good before a multitude. So I thought, something to think about. And why does it the number of people really matter? It doesn't. But in our minds, we feel insecure. That's what I'm going to talk about this morning for a little bit. Feeling insecure in the midst of feeling secure in the midst of an insecure world. There's obviously in our world today, and it was even back in the day of Daniel, I'm sure, and in the history of mankind, there's always this thing of insecurity. And as Christian people, we are not always feeling the most secure either. In some of the circumstances we find ourselves, and I'll talk a little bit about that later. But I looked up security. The dictionary says it's free from fear or danger. It's freedom from doubts. There is certainty and protection. And then secure is very similar, but it had a few words I liked. It's safe, firm, and stable. And then insecurity is just the opposite, obviously. It's not safe, unprotected, not firm, or dependable. And I don't think our minds have to go very far to think of undependable circumstances, undependable people, and that are not firm. And so to find a stable situation today is a little bit more difficult than it should be. And so for a scripture, my mind's been going ever since Alan's passing, and I read John 14, and I've been thinking about that passage, and there is so much in this as well. There's so much instruction and so much good comfort and security that Jesus is trying to present and get across to his disciples. And there's so much more in here than I'm going to be able to talk about or get out today. And but I'm impressed with the words and the way that it comes across that Jesus shows his caring heart for his disciples, knowing what's going to take place. If you go back to chapter 13, Jesus is talking about, and he's telling them in verse 33, little children, yet a little while, I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you. And he goes on to address them, and then Simon Peter talks, he speaks up, and he says, well, where are you going? And then Jesus said, well, where I go, you can't follow me now, but you're going to follow me afterwards. And then he addresses some of the things that's going to take place. And then in verse 38, Jesus says, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. So if you go through in chapter 18, then it goes into the account where Jesus is arrested and goes into the trial. But we have four chapters between, there's chapter 14 through 8 or 17, that again, Jesus is talking and giving them a lot of instructions. And what he's doing is trying to prepare them for what's going to happen and trying to get them to understand. And it was very difficult for them. So I'm thinking this is all took place in a very short time. If he's addressing even before the chapter 14 and so on, And then Jesus says here, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me. So I'm guessing a lot of this took place in that day, one day's time. And so I'm thinking, all this stuff that Jesus is telling them, it's no wonder if they couldn't comprehend it, because it was so different from what they were thinking and expecting. And I'm often impressed with Moses. God gave him, and we read chapters of information, instructions that God gave Moses to tell to the people. How in the world did he remember to do what God said? But he did a very good job. And God did a miracle there, I believe, in Moses' life also in that. And how he did that, I don't know. Maybe he had notes to go by. But even so, it's amazing. When I think of my short-term memory, how soon I forget. So, anyhow, I'm going to read a few verses here in John 14. I was going to read the whole chapter, but I don't think I'll take that time. And I'm going to just pick out some portions and some things to look at. And as we read this, keep in mind the security or insecurity that the disciples felt as Jesus was telling them these things. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And then Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show me the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him and will come unto him and make our abode with him. And he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. I believe I'll stop there for the moment. And so there are four of the disciples here that questioned. Often we think of Thomas, doubting Thomas, and his response to what Jesus is saying, and wondering how all this is going to take place, and so on. But Simon Peter did first in chapter 13. He said, where are you going? And then Thomas does the same thing. How can we know the way? We don't know where you're going. And then Philip also says, show us the, well, he's a little differently, but he says, show us the Father so that we can understand. And then later Judas in verse 22 says, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And so there's probably different, a lot of different things that we can gather from these from this chapter. But my mind went to insecurity of Daniel and his friends. I feel they were secure in who they trusted in and what they believed, and that is why they could do and stand for what they did. And these men here, and I'm not finding fault, because we all, as I said earlier, we all face times we might feel secure and know where we stand, and yet when some circumstances come, they rock us to the point that we do feel a little insecure. We're not quite sure. And a lot of it comes from the fact that we don't know the outcome. We don't know the end of the story. And so that's where these disciples were as well. And it's so different thing. They were thinking that Jesus is going to build his kingdom here on earth, and they were going to be delivered, freedom, free from the Romans and so on. And this was not Jesus' plan and not the way he was going. And they're a little confused and they don't understand. And yet Jesus has been trying and trying to tell them and to instruct them, but many times I think in reading he was a little bit vague in what he was really in the way he came across with what he was trying to tell them and to know what to expect. And part of it was because their understanding wasn't open to that, because later on it says that God opened their understanding, and then they understood what Jesus was talking about. And so I see these disciples as being somewhat insecure, because they were in an insecure world as well. So who do they really trust? Jesus, we thought you were going to be our king, and now you're saying you're going to leave. You're going to leave us. And then what are we going to do? And so it creates an insecurity in our world today. All of us, unless we, if our focus is on our government, on the condition of our world, in our leaders, then we're not very secure if we're trusting and depending on that. And so along with that, I do say that does create somewhat, I don't know if insecurity is the right word or not. It creates anxiety. It creates concern. I think that's all well and good. And yet through the whole thing, regardless of what happens after November 2nd, 3rd, or 4th, whatever the day is, whatever the outcome is, how secure will we feel? Will that change our feeling of security? Depending where our security lies, it will. So what makes us feel insecure? If you think about that, what is it that would, at times when you feel insecure, what's the surroundings, the circumstances? There's a number of different things. I jotted a few down that I thought of, and there could be a whole lot more, I'm sure, that might be more relevant to your situation. It's when our relationship with God is hindered, when we face or go through severe physical or emotional trials. That can cause insecurity or broken relationships. When we feel God's comfort, we also feel secure. When we sense God's approval, we are secure. When we have the hope of the gospel, salvation, forgiveness, promise of eternal life, aid of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, we can have security in the assurance of God's faithfulness to the believer through obedience to to his word. So I have concluded that the only security that we can really have is our faith and confidence and trust in God and in his word. And I believe that's what Jesus was trying to tell the disciples through all his teaching, to show them that it's God. He was here representing God as a man, but he was pointing them to God. And even when Jesus was going to leave and then return to heaven to be with God, he was telling them what he's going to do. And there's a few of those verses I want to read then. But there are a few verses that I want to look at that talk about security. In Psalm 125, 1 and 2, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people, from henceforth even forever." And then also in Psalm 4, verse 8, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." And then also Proverbs 1, verse 33. "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." And so, gathering from these verses, fear is a big thing in causing insecurity when we are fearful of whatever. But our security lies in our confidence and in our faith in God. And so Jesus was telling them, and he was trying to help them, and he was leading them through this time of transition of to still be able to be secure, even though he wasn't bodily present, but he was going to send someone else that would take his place, that could even do better and do greater than what Jesus himself could do. And so he tells them that, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." So Jesus wasn't just abandoning ship and saying, you're do the best you can, you're on your own. Jesus didn't do that. He made all the preparations for them and for us. This is for us today as well, and we need to remember that. And we need to claim this as Jesus telling us today. In verse 26, he says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." There again, Jesus is saying, okay, I know you can't remember all this, and I know it's overwhelming. I know it's more than you can grasp, but the Comforter is going to come, and then he's going to explain this. He's going to show you. You know, when you get a whole book of information dumped on you, it at one time it's like, oh, you know, if you teachers teach everything in the first week that you're going to have, the students are going to learn everything the first week that they would learn in a year, you probably have a difficult time. The students are going to be overwhelmed. And I believe the Holy Spirit works that way. He teaches us and he brings to our remembrance as we read and as we, it sparks our interest, and he reminds us of things, and then it's explained if we search it out. A lot of times we have to look. We have to put a little effort in to find the answers and find out reasons and so on of what's happening and so on. But the Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I like that. as we get older, we tend to forget things, just like Reuben did this morning. And I do the same thing time and again. I forget what I'm looking for, and then I forget where it is to start with, and I just, yeah, it disappears. You that are younger, just you'll understand one time. But it's okay. And so my encouragement, okay, there's a couple more verses I think I want to give. It talks about the Holy Spirit. And again, Jesus's words of comfort and security to his disciples, to his followers. In chapter 15, it talks about the vine and the branches. And he says, as a father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my father's commandments and abide in his love. And then he goes on there. And then in verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And in chapter 16, Jesus says, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And then skipping down to verse 13, he says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And then in closing, in verse 27, he said, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I'd like to leave that with us today as our verse as we go. Remember, the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. Again, that's our anchor, is in Jesus Christ, and only then will we be secure. It's just like a building or a ship or anything that is anchored to something that is insecure to start with and expected. I'm thinking of a boat or something rocking, and you tie it off to a little twig or something on the shore. Pretty soon, with the waves and a wash, the next thing you know, you're free and drifting because it's not anchored securely. But you anchor to something that is embedded into the ground, secure, it will stand, and it will. It doesn't mean that it won't rock, and it doesn't mean that it won't be tested, but it will hold and it will stand. So you and I as well. Some of you have gone through some quite severe tests in your time. We all face tests of some sort. And so how we come out of those depends on where we focus on. Is our focus on ourselves, on what we're going through, or is our focus on God? I believe Daniel's success was in his focus was on God. He knew who God was. He knew what God could do, and he didn't know what God was going to do, but he knew what he could do. And so you and I as well. When our focus is on God rather than our circumstances, we can feel secure. So God bless you, and I hope you have a good week, and may his countenance rest and upon you. I didn't have a bulletin to follow, so I went off course a little bit. I forgot about our prayers requests, but we can do that now as we close. So, and